Today's episode of TMS is brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Get a great website made very simply and easily with all the templates you'll know and love right now at squarespace.com. Try the trial for 14 days, no credit card required, and if you decide to stay, and I think you will, use the code MORNING at checkout and save 10%. That's MORNING at checkout at squarespace.com. Coming up on TMS, Pokemon went.
Smoke Cheetos every day.
Can't wait to hear about that. Luke helps.
Lauer has naked ankles.
Gross. Portman says no more Thor.
The Rock is not finished with Vin.
Major spoilers.
Your calls and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Feeling left out is just one roadblock to friendship. Another roadblock may be personality.
Am I going to shove it in my schema? That sounds great.
A great pair of nerd glasses in about an hour. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for Monday, the, what the hell is it, 22nd of August, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
What's going on? How was your weekend?
It was fantastic.
All right, now don't everyone sit down and listen, because in a minute, Brian's going to talk about smoking a Cheeto and riding a bike around town to eat shit.
Well, it wasn't quite like that, but okay.
Okay, so I've oversimplified. However, it's similar, right? Like, there's kind of a
thing. We'll get to all that.
Okay, we'll explain that in a minute. But first, I have some shocking news. Beep it a beep, 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 everybody. Oh, happy Olympics. They came and went, and I never saw an ounce of it.
They were great. Speaking for the Olympics, you missed some amazing performances, some amazing gold medal winning performances by Team USA. Go Team USA. Yeah. Leading the chip count, babies.
Yeah, we killed it this year. Jeez.
Yeah, we did.
Freaking, just when you start to think everything's down, it's all back up. It's all coming up roses in the Olympics anyway.
Well, the Olympics is kind of like a field trip where we just get to be the giant jock that pushes all the other kids down in the three-legged race, really.
Yeah. Yeah, not dick swimmers, notwithstanding. And there were a few moments of...
He was my wrestling coach.
Oh, Dick Swimmers was great.
Dick Swimmers, yeah.
They should have kept him on. They fired him because he was looking at that girl funny, but... Good old Dick Swimmers. Anyway, so... Pokemon Go has lost 22% of its player base in the United States. What's up with that?
Well, they're doing a bad job of keeping people interested. I mean, we could talk about the art. You want to read the article?
All right, I'll read part of it. The game has begun to lose players rapidly, says this, particularly in the United States, where usership has dropped from 40 million to 30 million. Oh boy. Yeah. That's just such a cut into the one-third of Americans.
Right. Oh, no. We're down to 30 million players.
It's like when people freak out that World of Warcraft's at 8 million, and it's like, guys.
Exactly.
You know their closest competition's at like 500,000 or some dumb number.
Right.
Or it might be.
Oh, no. People are going to Flappy Bird.
people are going to get mad at me. I know it's like 1 million, 2 million, some of these other games, but still. Yeah. It's by far in a way. Anyway, that's a fall of 22.7%. Data comes from a SurveyMonkey intelligence report. How can you not take it seriously when SurveyMonkey is in the name?
Oh, sure.
It only takes into account those who play the game at least once a week, meaning those who are where it's downloaded and did it because of the buzz but barely got past selecting a starter Pokemon. Weren't included in the survey, so those people are not there.
Do you have to love... You know, all right, so these guys say, oh, we're going to create a website where people can create their own surveys. I love this idea. Let's call it SurveyMonkey. Cool.
Yeah.
And then a year later, it's like, oh, we're getting interviewed by companies who, you know, want to get some information based on our survey. What should we call the our data? How about SurveyMonkey Intelligence? Ooh, maybe we should have thought of another name a year ago when we founded our company.
Just about anything else. I'm guessing it was like one of those deals where the URL was hard to get or something. Yeah, so they were like, hey, SurveyMonkey's available. it's 2:30 in the morning. Can we go home? All right, fine. Pay the $15. Finish that
survey
pizza.
Survey Lion's gone. Survey Eagle is unavailable.
Yeah. Somebody put the wings in the fridge. I'm not coming in here tomorrow and have this place stink again like last time.
It's between Survey Monkey and Survey Anteater. Which one do you want?
Yeah, which one you like? Probably Monkey because it's shorter. Okay, done. Anyway, so I guess this is the explanation of the fall. Critics may point to several significant flaws in the game's design. The ability to battle other trainers is not there, rather than just gyms. Trade Pokemon between friends doesn't exist. Something gamers are desperate for, and developer Niantic has confirmed these features will be added in time. However, the game has also had issues with numerous bugs, such as the now fixed freezing Pokeball and third-party cheat apps, which tell players the exact locations of nearby Pokemon. Pointless cosmetic changes, such as the little turf or tuft of grass that now appears on the list of sighted Pokemons, have hardly helped. That's what this article says. The article's obviously a little tilted, but I would say I have seen a significant drop-off just in empirical evidence. I drive around, and those kids aren't out there on Friday night anymore.
Yeah, you know, there's we did a bike ride on yesterday morning, and went to a park that we haven't been to before, but is frequently comes up in the, there's a Facebook Pokemon group for local Arvada players, right? And they talk about, oh yeah, here's where I caught this Articuno, and here's where I caught this such and such, and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And this is one of the parks that was widely frequented by the people in that Facebook group. And there were maybe, I don't know, half a dozen, maybe six, seven kids in the park that were obviously playing Pokemon as they were walking around the park, which based on, you know, just what I've seen in that Facebook group before is a tenth of what should have been there. Although it was a Sunday morning. So, there's that. So
sure.
But, I mean, 30 million, I'd be happy to have 30 million of anything.
Yeah, no, I'd take 30 million chicken pox at this point. Like, give me 30 million of something.
But the article's right on the money. When you come out with a game that is as popular and as quick to be adopted and just jumps into the public vernacular as quickly as Pokemon Go did. I mean, it was on every news station and everybody talking about it. And then you get all the backlash articles. Oh, people going into other people's yards. Blah, blah, blah. as an app developer, you can't just rest on your laurels and say, all right, I've made this great app. Let me sit back and just count my money. You have to say, all right, people are going to be wanting new features. This thing got adopted so quickly that people are going to burn out if we don't give them some new ways to play the game.
Yeah, not only that, you had so much revenue that first month. It was the most record-breaking, many millions of dollars revenue in the history of ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sign. That's a sign that you have a very limited window opportunity here.
Yes.
To maximize perhaps one of the biggest grassroots explosive successes that this kind of thing has ever had. So that's what you do. And instead, they kind of go silent. They don't really talk about it.
Right. They take features out as opposed to adding features. They
it's really weird.
They block other things that kind of add to the popularity of the app. I mean, that Pokevision site that would basically tell you, all right, there's such and such spawning here. You know, there's no way. You're looking at your computer. You're not going to be able to get out to where you see a Psyduck spawning 15 miles away. You're not going to be able to get there in 10 minutes to collect it. But being able to say, oh, okay, here's where all this stuff is spawning, it added to people's enjoyment of the game, regardless of the fact of whether or not it was useful or not. They could go on there and say, oh, wow, if I take a trip to Ventura in California, now I can probably collect these because I see a lot of those spawning over there. Awesome. Let's go out to Disneyland, kids, and we'll make a beach trip out to Ventura or something.
I have a prediction that some of this stuff comes from people in charge of the Pokemon company side of things. Maybe we're a little fishy in all this. Maybe. I'm not saying could for be. Sure, but yeah. I know that there's a reputation at that company and others in Japan where they're like, now hold on a minute. Like, they just get a little bit like, man, we're all in our suits and holding still and we got to be careful. And there's a lot of like that.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's possible that kind of messed around with this. Also, just could come down to Niantic's just not ready for this freaking thing. Like, this is just too big for them.
I mean, they've got a beta of this new Pokemon locating system that is, it came with the last update, but they've only rolled it out to users in the San Francisco area. And they've been posting video and they've been posting screenshots of it. And it actually allows you to see near Pokestops what Pokemon are spawning, and you can actually see a little picture of the Pokestop that it's nearby and where it is on your map and how to get to it and all that stuff. It's like really, really cool functionality, but it's kind of just being beta tested in
San Francisco
right now. So if they roll that out, I think that they could kind of stem the tide of people freaking out over the loss of almost a quarter of their players. It's
that's what we need is more hippies in freaking San Francisco with early access to shit the rest of us need. That's just great.
Damn hippies and their early access.
So I don't know. I mean, it's they need to do something because it is this is just the beginning. If they are just going to sit there and say, we've made our money, we're kind of happy with what we've made, and why would we want to work harder and hire more developers and give away some of this money we've made instead of saying, if we kept this thing going and added new features and kept this on a regular schedule, we could have money for years as opposed to lots of money for now.
Yeah, for the rest of time, probably.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, look, the truth is if that thing dropped as low as 5 million, which is a fraction of what it is now, they'd still be a very profitable company. So I don't know where their heads are at, but it's interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Given all this hype, and then suddenly this, and it's not the normal reasons. Everybody thought, it's just a fad; it'll come and go.
Right?
No,
right.
This is on the backs of, is this good and does it have legs or not? And that's on them. Like there's an opportunity there, and they're letting it slip like a bar of soap.
And I will say that my bike riding has dropped at least a quarter, right? Like I was doing it every day ever since I got back from Milwaukee and the Chicago trip. Mm-hmm. And now it's like 4 days a week as opposed to 7 days a week.
Right.
One of those days that I was bike riding was Saturday.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about this. Bike ride bikes every day.
Smoke weed every day.
No. Ride bikes every day. Come on now, song.
Yeah, come on.
All right. So tell me about this weird ass. I saw. Okay. All I have is like visual record of this. Is there's an Instagram or a Vine or something floating around of you? Yeah. What looks like you smoking or vaping on a Cheeto. So explain what that is.
All right. So we did the booze cruise on Saturday. Yeah. I'll start with the booze cruise and we'll end with the, what the heck is that smoking Cheeto?
All right.
We did the booze cruise. And so we showed up at a specific time at this bar. The driver came in. He looked like, how there's the drummer in Foo Fighters that has the blonde, long blonde hair, but he's got like a dark brown beard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Dave Grohl, you'd think Dave Grohl would be the drummer of Foo Fighters, but he has somebody else do that? Is that the deal?
That is the deal. He's still, I mean, he'll go out and do like, he's the house drummer for, what's his name, Jack Black's band.
Right.
But he won't drum for his own band. That's weird. Yeah.
Taylor Hawkins, that's the guy's name. So this guy looked like Taylor Hawkins with a big old bushy millennial beard.
Yeah.
Right? So really big ass beard.
All right.
It's like, hey guys, I'm Chris. Go ahead and finish up your drinks and then you can meet me out there in the parking lot. And we'll have a great time. He's like super cheerful. And
Diners, Dives, and Dives.
No, it wasn't a Guy Fieri douche at all. Like it was, I would not call this guy a douche at all. He was a blast and he did a great job for us. But and by the way, we've been at this bar called the Retro Room in Denver. And it might be a new place that visiting Tadpool fans or TMS and Coverville fans might be a place that I start meeting people because, the drinks there are really good, and they're really cheap if you tell them that you're doing a booze cruise.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're like, are you guys doing a booze cruise? Like, oh, yeah, we are. Okay, yeah, your shots are like $2 each or something.
Why? Is that because they think you'll consume more because you're not driving or whatever?
Well,
or?
Because they want to make sure that the booze cruise people keep this as one of the meeting places.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. Yep, have a good experience there. Talk about it a ton. Then the booze cruise people keep you on the list.
And they have all these infused. I had this is going to sound incredibly horrible to you, but it was really, really good. It was a pepperoncini infused vodka.
Ugh. That sounds bad separately as well as together.
Really good. It was super tasty. But
jeez. How do they infuse? When they say infused, what does that mean? Infused? What is that?
So they basically take vodka and they put things into it and infuse them. So there's one over there with cinnamon and apples, and then there's one next to it that's got pickles. That's this place's claim to fame is lots of different pickle variety infused vodka.
So how do you infuse? Infuse means what? It just sits together for a long time?
You put fruit or vegetables or roots or some sort of thing into a jar of liquid, alcohol, sometimes water, yeah. And you let it sit there for days and days and days, and the alcohol takes on the flavor of that thing.
Oh, all right.
So
it's like if I put rice and pineapple juice together and let it sit in the fridge for 3 weeks, I've got pineapple juice infused rice to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Sure. I think of it more as your end result is going to be a drink of some sort as opposed to a food. But Tina's been doing this a lot with water here in the house. Like she'll get fruit at the grocery store every week, and then we'll put it into a big pitcher of water in the fridge and have cucumber basil infused water. And it's excellent. It's like, oh, it's water. I'm drinking tons of it because it has a little bit of a flavor to it, but not like a super strong flavor. Mm. It's awesome.
Looks like the booze thing is the one consistent. So you can get infused foods, but it's always with booze. So it's like 20 great booze infused foods from across America, for example.
There you go. Anyway. Booze and infuse. There you go. All right. So we hop out onto the booze cruise, and here's what it is. It's basically, and I didn't take any photos per se, but I did do three periscopes or four periscopes while we were riding. So you can find those somewhere on my Periscope account. But it's a rolling patio, like a patio bar, with four bicycle seats and sets of pedals on each side, and then a bench in the back, and then a place up the middle between the two bar tops. On each side, there's like a little walkway in the middle, and then the very front is the driver with an actual Subaru steering wheel that he steers this thing with.
Really? And he's not allowed to drink, I'm guessing, right? That guy?
No, he is not allowed to drink.
Okay, all right. Just making sure we don't got, you know, saucy
Although,
Bill
you know,
up
we
there.
Should have asked him. We should have said, hey, you want to come in for a shot? We probably could have done that. But he says, all right, we're going to go to a few bars. And if you guys are all ready, then start pedaling. So we start pedaling. All eight of us are pedaling, except for Tina, who's picked a seat where there's a seat and a pedal, but there's no chain connecting that pedal to anything. So initially her legs are just going, and then we realize, there's no pedal or no chain. You might as well
just
sit there.
Man, this is easy, she's thinking.
Exactly. Yeah. And really, you know, it kind of was easy. There was no part of it where we were really struggling. We had an uphill where we had to work a little bit harder. But other than that, I mean, there's eight of us or seven of us piloting this thing. And the weight differential versus chain, ratchet, gear, sprocket thing. It's all science.
Yeah.
Hold
on, Bill Nye. You're blowing my mind here.
So, I mean, it all worked out really well.
Sure.
So we get to the first place, go in, have drinks, and that's basically what it is. You just basically go, you take this as a little ride from place to place and
drink a bunch, go to the next one.
You have one drink and then go to the next one. The whole thing is like 2 hours. It's not super long. And so you really only have time for one drink in each place.
What if you have to pee? They let you out to pee?
Well, you pee at one of the bars.
Oh, because you can
kind of, you're stopping at bars. Okay. You're going into the bar for 20 minutes and hanging out there.
Oh,
and then
in my head, it's just you're all sitting at this little floating bar and they bring stuff to you in my head.
Oh, no. Okay. No, we go into the bar and we hang out there. And we went to three places that, I've driven past and I've never gone into. And they're really cool. Like some of these bars are really, really cool. There's one that had this whole back patio area with umbrellas and tables and rows of cornhole games and super millennial stuff right there too.
Big time, dude. Cornhole's having a real resurgence. Have you noticed this?
Totally.
Like my wife grew up in Mississippi where cornhole was like this crappy thing people did in town and they were all old doing it.
Yeah.
Now it's all bearded millennials going, we should play some cornhole. Freaking F off, dude. F
it's
off with your cornhole.
It's basically horseshoes without the extra added effort of having to drive a stake into the ground and carry these big metal heavy horseshoes around.
Yeah. Plus, I just think it's funny to say cornhole out loud.
Yeah.
It's killing me, the cornhole.
Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
So, so we finished the booze cruise, had a great time. The guy put on music the whole time, and he's like doing the Rocky theme when we're going up the hill and stuff. He's got his iPod out and he's controlling the music. It was great. So highly recommend doing that. Even if you're not a drinker, we had a couple people in our group that weren't drinkers and they had a blast. And you just go, when you go into the bars, you just go have a ginger ale or a Pepsi or something like that. And you're just fine.
All right.
They didn't, none of them had a worse time because they weren't drinking. And really, none of us got so sloshed that, it's a combination of having it spaced out. Because while we were actually on the bicycle deal, we did have drinks. We had like little plastic cups with lids that we had to tell him. And he says, we turn a blind eye. Whatever you put in those cups is fine. But when you're referring to them, make sure you refer to them as non-alcoholic beverages. And so we brought a pitcher of, here's what we did. This is really good too. So 7-Eleven, I don't know if you knew this last weekend, but 7-Eleven had their annual bring any vessel you want to 7-Eleven and fill it with Slurpee for $1.50.
I saw this. It's better than Free Slurpee Day, because Free Slurpee Day, they just give you a tiny effing Slurpee.
Little shot glass of Slurpee.
Yeah, it sucks. It's no good.
So we took a Coleman thermos, like a big old
oh wow,
it just has to be able to fit through a little stand-up cardboard thing that they have there. But we got a Slurpee of it was pineapple lemonade was what it's called.
Okay.
And so we filled that thing with pineapple lemonade and then took it back and put some rum in there. Boom, there's your drink.
That actually sounds pretty good.
Really, really good. They should have that in Mexico and call it a virgin Mai Tai.
You can even say it's infused.
it's infused Slurpee.
Yeah.
All right. So we did the booze cruise, got off, and one of the places that
More question about this.
Oh, yeah, sure.
While you're on the bikes.
Yes.
And first of all, I think some of the anti-drunkenness comes from everyone pedaling, probably. I mean, there's like an energy to it that's probably keeping you guys from
You think that exertion makes your blood pump faster, so if there's alcohol in it, it gets distributed faster. I don't know.
Maybe. But there's just like an energy to it that probably kept you guys on a more even keel. But here's my question. While you're on this thing, is traffic constantly just going, me, 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 as they go by?
Nobody honked at us, but it's downtown on a Saturday afternoon. Oh, and there's a Rockies Cubs game, and so all the fans are out there in full force. You pretty much, this thing stays off to one side, and the cars just know to stay out of that lane. It's not that bad.
Okay.
Plus, we're really only going like in a 2 or 3 block area that's not super busy. So
it's just, but there's nobody's like annoyed with you and they're just like laying
well,
on
if
the
they
horn.
Were, they're totally laughing. And if they were, we didn't hear them over Eye of the Tiger.
Oh.
So,
all right, fair enough. Yeah. All right, Cheeto, give me a Cheeto.
All right, so a couple weeks ago when, Brian and Emma were visiting from Montana. They were telling us about this place that they went to in Denver called the Inventing Room. And this is the closest thing to Willy Wonka factory that I've ever seen. Basically, it is a dessert shop. I won't call it a restaurant, but it's a dessert shop that specializes in using liquid nitrogen for everything.
Oh, weird.
And so they make ice cream with liquid nitrogen. You basically choose your flavors and they dump the cream and the sugar and the flavoring in there and then whip it up really quick with some liquid nitrogen. They have all these taps that are caked in ice because they're so cold because of the liquid nitrogen, and they're all wearing these big old heavy gloves like you see. And it's, you know, it's one of these things where you dip a banana in there and then shatter it on the ground.
like in science class when you're science teacher.
Exactly. So when you walk in the door, first thing they do is give you popcorn that has been
Had that. It's so good.
Been spun around in some liquid nitrogen. Basically, they put it in a big metal bowl, put some liquid nitrogen on it, and then whisk it around really quick and then dump it in a paper bag. So it's not like it ever gets soggy or anything like that.
Yeah.
And as you're eating it, it's cold, but it's not so cold. It's like, oh my God, this is so cold. I can't handle it. But it steams out as you're eating it.
It's like a new kind of food. I've had that. It's real weird. I loved it. I freaking loved that. I thought that made me think I wanted that forever. And then I realized doing liquid nitrogen home made popcorn is not really practical.
No, you can't really. You can get the stuff, but it ain't cheap.
No, and you got to have weird sources for it and stuff. But anyway, right. Yeah.
So I had a root beer float and some Cheetos, and the Cheetos, same kind of thing. Basically, they dump them in liquid nitrogen, and that was me eating one. And as you're eating it, you take a bite of it, and it's like your mouth fills up with gas. Right. And you have to expel it either through your nose or through your mouth. It's like you're getting inflated like a balloon.
It's so weird.
And so you just kind of got to let it out. And
it looks like you were vaping on it.
I know it did. Yeah. Keep trying to keep as straight a face as possible, but
vaping on a Cheeto, man.
A Cheeto vape, man.
Yeah, man. We're hipsters too.
Don Cheeto,
man.
But this place is called the Inventing Room. And if you're visiting Colorado, it is worth checking out. There's a great restaurant next door where we ended up for dinner called Pop's Diner. And but it's anything but diner food. I had what was called duck sauce duck, which is basically duck sauce and noodles with actual pieces of duck and vegetables and stuff tossed with some noodles. Really good. Pieces of duck meat.
Oh, they were so good in 98.
Here's a beak. Here's a leg.
I love pieces of duck. They only toured the Western United States, but they were so good. Pieces of duck.
The Lost Train album was called Pieces of Duck.
So good. Anyway, so that sounds yummy. Like, I didn't realize there'd be food involved. I figured you guys were just drinking.
Well, it wasn't really involved in the booze cruise. It was, hey, let's get something to eat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good point.
Booze cruise is over. Let's go get something to eat.
And how long were the stops? Just curious about that.
About 20, 25 minutes each place.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were riding for about 20 minutes between each one, and then we'd have 20 to 25 minutes at each stop. And then
and you'd do this again.
I would do it again in a heartbeat. It was a blast. It was, it was $300 for the 12 of us, but you divide that up and it's only like $25 a person.
Did the weird neighbors do anything funny?
No, not really. Nothing out of the ordinary for them. they were drinking like the rest of us. And
he didn't whip his bong out in the middle of the thing or anything?
He did not.
Okay.
They may have had some edibles or something, but that's about it.
Just a little bag of brownies.
A little snacky snack.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm over here huffing on some smoking Cheetos in there over there and enjoying a gummy bear or two.
debauchery, man. Debauchery.
Right.
Well, they shouldn't have played Eye of the Tiger. They should have played this.
They should have.
That would have been amazing.
They probably could have requested it.
Yeah.
But
all right.
It was a blast. And if there was ever a way to do that with a batch of tadpoolers, I think it would be such a good time. But,
yeah, it sounds like fun.
Can't really imagine going up the hill at Snowbird in one of those bicycle things.
No, probably not. Also, alcohol. Too much alcohol up there means you're not drinking enough water because you'll get dehydrated. Hey, so listen, everybody, it's time for Stump Daryl. Now, we can't do this segment without you. That's the truth. We need one of you to call in, 801-895-4724. And if you're the first caller I take, you'll get a chance to win a Steam game today. And Stump Daryl will help him get it right or wrong. Mm-hmm. Let's find out who our first caller is. Hello, who's this?
Hey, it's a bearded millennial named I Am Sci-Fi.
Ah, sweet. Got that sweet beard. He's a dirty millennial. Do you like cornhole? Do you like playing it?
Not ever.
Okay, see,
really?
There's a certain brand of cornhole player that you're clearly not, and that's fine. Listen, I don't have...
Yeah.
People think I've got some built-in problem with, like, hipster millennials. I really don't. I think the beards are kind of cool. I think it's fine. It's fine. Everybody's got their thing. It's totally fine. But cornhole...
Oh, I have a problem with hipsters. I'm just bearded and happen to apparently fall into the millennial category according to Google.
Oh, all right. Well, you're fine. Screw Google. What does it know? But
you know what? Millennial is more about an attitude than a delineation of time.
That's
so if you don't feel like a millennial, dude, you're not a millennial.
Yeah, forget
Whatever,
it.
Whatever, man.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You're in Portland, though, aren't you? Or am I?
No, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn, other end of the world.
Yeah,
Yeah, exactly. The other hipster haven.
Yeah, the other hipster haven on the East Coast. East Coast hipster haven is what they like to refer to themselves as. Well, it's always good to have you on, man. And we're going to use you for your knowledge today. Brian, why don't you explain the topic rules and all that?
Okay. Today we are going to be pulling Daryl in for a trivia question. Yeah, kind of like every other day. But we want you, I Am Sci-Fi, to predict whether or not Daryl is going to get that trivia question right or wrong. If your prediction is correct today, you can win a copy of Cluck Yeager in Escape from the Planet of the Poltroid on Steam. I think it's a pigeon dating simulator, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Aren't they all?
Yeah. Aren't they all? Yes.
At the end of the day, every game on Steam is a pigeon dating
pigeon
simulator.
Dating simulator. Yeah. So that is your prize. Your category today is the musician named David Bowie.
Oh, you might be familiar with his work, I'm thinking.
I have heard of the man.
Yeah. He's been around, done some stuff. Made that Labyrinth movie with a bunch of puppets. It was great.
I hear he likes to go around space and Mars.
Yeah, he likes to spin balls in his hands. Although that was never his hands, right, Brian? It was like somebody's fake hand was sticking out doing the ball juggling he used to do.
Oh, yeah, in Labyrinth. Yeah, it was a stunt hand.
How would you like to be the stunt guy who's behind David Bowie with your hand like right there next to his hip holding your hand out doing the ball thing?
Is that some juggling balls in your pocket, or you're just glad to see?
You're happy to see
the stories you could tell about juggling David Bowie's balls.
Oh my gosh, they would go on for days. So, what do you think Daryl's going to do here? This, by the way, finishes out. We were supposed to have this last week, but this finishes out our music week, our four straight days of music. How do you think Daryl's going to do?
I think Daryl's going to get this one right. I think his Bowie knowledge might be strong.
All right.
I'm glad you said that, because I looked at this question and I can't believe this is a trivia question. So, for Pete's sake. No, I'm.
Oh, I agree.
I think you're going to be playing some Cluck Yeager before the day's out.
Yeah, unless Daryl, the only thing that could go south here is Daryl may think that he's going to, what I mean? Like, Daryl's going to get all like Inception on it.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I Am Sci-Fi wants me to get this one wrong, so I should get it wrong so he can win the prize.
I like that voice so much. All right. Well, let's bring him in. Let's see what happens. Only time can tell as Daryl enters the room.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Time to stump Daryl, brought to you by...
This week on the All Roads Tavern actual play RPG podcast, the Trials of Luska continue. The Void Ocean crew struggles with the rushing waters of the Trial of Distance and the swirling vortex of the Trial of Appetite. Will they be able to fight the surging waters, or will the depths consume them or confuse them? Will they confuse me? Probably. On a side note, the All Roads Tavern crew is interested. If people would like to hear a live stream continuation of our Elder Hollow series on October 30th, email lithmage@gmail.com or tweet at lithmage LLC and let us know. Find these tales and more at lithmage.com. That's lithmage.com.
Excellent. Daryl, are you there? Hello, Daryl.
I hope so.
Oh, here you are.
Oh, it's being leggy again.
Oh, is it? Can you hear me now? How soon can you hear me now?
Oh, right now.
Okay, you're good. It sounds like you're all right. You probably just had a moment there. Just a moment. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Everyone just look at it for what it is. A moment. Daryl, it's I Am Sci-Fi's on the phone. You know him as a usual dude here. And he's going to help you or hinder you in today's question where we stump you. Are you excited?
Oh, yes.
Oh, great.
I'm excited, too.
I got to tell you guys a quick Inception thing I had last night. I had a dream. I was having a terrible time sleeping. The only time I did sleep, I had this dream. And it was a very confusing dream. My sister Wendy is dating John Krasinski from The Office. And
every time she does something, does he look at the camera with like kind of a look on his face?
Yes, but here's the funny thing about the dream. We're having the dream and we're all talking, and I told John Krasinski how excited I am for his new, is it Netflix? Yeah, Netflix series of Jack Ryan. It's a Jack Ryan TV show on Netflix, and he's going to be the lead role. What?
Oh, on Amazon Prime.
Not Netflix. Is it Amazon? Oh, I had it backwards.
No wonder you're so ticked off at you. You got the network wrong.
Actually, I may have said Netflix in the dream. Anyway, so he's like, oh, thanks, man. I'm pretty excited about it. I haven't seen you since the last time we saw each other. And I went, oh, yeah, that time. And then it was me remembering another dream where we had a party for some reason in like a river. And he was there, my sister was there, but they weren't dating then, and there was this fat baby that wouldn't stop crying, and everybody had me hold the fat baby. And so it was a whole other dream, and this other baby's here in this dream, but walking and bigger now, Like a bigger kid?
So was this a dream that prior to last night's dream you really would have remembered? Or did this dream implant another dream that because here's the thing with dreams. And I've found this, that they will make you think you remember things that you don't really remember.
All right. So now herein lies the rub.
Okay.
I thought you could have, and still right now I question it, mm-hmm. but I was sure I'd had the previous dream and remember having it separate from this years ago or months ago or something. Mm-hmm. But I'm now convinced the dream created a sub dream within the dream so that I would feel like I'd had that dream before.
Yes.
I have never had that I know of.
What happened?
I've never had that before that I've noticed. I may have had it before, but didn't know it or recognize it for what it was. This is the first time where I walked away from it going, no, wait a minute. Did I actually have the first dream? I think it created the subtext of that dream for this new mm-hmm. dream in real time. Like, it was weird.
Yeah, totally did.
Yeah.
The question is, Scott, are you dreaming right now?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, let's define dream. Nightmare is more like it.
Spin a top.
Well,
do you have a top?
Thanks.
Well, not because of you. It's mostly because of Daryl. Just kidding, Daryl.
His top just won't stop spinning.
Anyway, Krasinski, the reason I even thought of it is because Daryl came on. I thought Star Trek, because my brain always does. Then I thought Chris Pine. Then I thought Chris Pine played Jack Ryan in the most recent Jack Ryan movie. And then I thought, oh, there's a new Jack Ryan series. And, oh, yeah, I had a dream last night talking to Krasinski about his job at the new Jack Ryan movie. And he's dating my sister.
You know what I would have said if I was in your dream?
Bacon?
No, nobody does. What? Say what, Brian?
If I were in your dream, what I would have said was, John Krasinski, why did they pick you to play Jack Ryan? You're not like an action guy. You're a sit-behind-a-desk guy.
I guess he was in a military thing last year that everybody raved about.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, and said
he was in that Benghazi movie.
Yeah. And people thought he was really good in it and super intense and had the chops to be... action spy face,
13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers. Okay.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know how
Even though the movie stunk, he apparently was decent in it.
Yeah. He's supposed to be impressive. So
he should be rom-com material. But all right. I take that back. I'm looking. No, even this picture of him, like, muscular from a day ago from the Page Six website. All right. He may be getting jacked up muscular-wise, right? And working out and stuff. Yeah. But that face is like,
I kind of agree. I have a crush on his wife, though, if I'm telling the truth. I really like her.
Who's his wife again? Remind me.
British lady. Freaking.
Oh, Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt. Right, you don't like her chin or something.
I don't like her chin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right.
And that is why I turned down Emily Blunt.
That's right. She moved on to that dork from The Office. All right, Daryl. Hey, it's time to stump you. You ready for this? We're going to finish out Music Week, even though it was last week because we missed last Monday. But we got one here about David Bowie. How's your David Bowie knowledge?
All music knowledge for me is not there.
Oh, well, this one might be there for you. Let's find out. Here's the question. In the David Bowie song, Let's Dance, there's a lyric about putting on your shoes and dancing. What color of shoes does David Bowie say to put on in this song? Was it A, B, or A, B. Was it A, blue, B, green, C, yellow, or D, red? Blue, green, yellow, red.
I think I can get this one.
You think so, do you?
I think so, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Brian. Work real hard. Struggle with this one.
This is a rough one.
Yeah.
Difficult.
I'm pretty sure I've got a dog who knows it. I just have to go, hey, Rainer, do you know the answer to this? Of course I do, Reggie. She'd say.
I don't know. Is it one of the colors that dogs can't see? I forget. I know it's a color blind.
Might well be.
I think it is, yes.
She'd call it gray, I suppose. Right. All right. So is that true, though, by the way? Dogs are colorblind, right? They don't have the same spectrum we do or whatever.
Correct.
Oh, Daryl's got some kind of meeting going on.
Emergency meeting. Everyone to the conference room. Bring a pencil.
Yeah, get in there. Call Janice. From accounting, get her in here. Daryl,
drink a lot of water and bring a plastic cup. We're all going to the conference.
What does your heart tell you on this one? The only hard part, I think, is whether or not he thought you'd get it right or wrong. So,
well, I'm sure if he was smart, he would think I would get it wrong. But I think I'm going to get it right because I'm going to say red.
Red. Yeah. Let me do the song. Put on your blue shoes and dance.
I co-sign your thoughts, Daryl.
Yeah, that's, I think you guys are probably on the right track. Well, let's find out for real if that is the correct answer.
Congratulations.
Of course it freaking is.
You're a winner.
Perhaps one of the worst trivia questions ever written of all time.
But for me,
we love you, Iceworm, but come on, man.
That's a bad one.
That's the kind I need all the time.
The lyric is, let's dance, put on your red shoes and dance the blues. Bonus points for Brian if he can get the next line. Of course you can.
Well, it's written there, of course, but but I could, yeah.
You could have done it.
While color lights up your... That's not the next line, but I'm going to give you other lines from the song.
Yeah, that aren't written.
That he didn't type into the show notes that we all share.
Yeah, the notes that we all have here.
If you say I just played the Concords running through my head this entire time.
You should. Oh, my gosh. Jermaine's...
Always in space.
Oh, his version of that is so funny. He's so good at that. I'd take a whole... like 2-hour mockumentary about David Bowie's life done by Jemaine Clement. I would pay for that.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine? Oh my gosh. He's so good.
I want to kickstart that right now.
Yeah, it's a good idea. All right. You win Chuck Yeager and the escape from, or sorry, Cluck Yeager and escape from the planet of the Pultroid. This is from those original, those guys, what are they called? Oh, I forgot what they named themselves. Anyway, it's from the old adventure game people.
Like the Day of the Tentacle guys, right?
Not them, but them. Okay. Like from that era. And I can't think of their names or the famous game. It's left me. I can't think of it. Space Quest. No shit. Anyway,
King's
whatever
Quest?
It is. No, it's not that either. It's some other thing. It's got a bunch of birds in it. Pumbaa, maybe. It might be Pumbaa. The Adventures of Pumbaa.
I guess LucasArts was the one who did Day of the Tentacle.
Yeah, that is correct. Well,
Sierra Online? No, Sierra Online was King's Quest. Zork?
No, Zork was text-based.
People in the chat room aren't helping.
Yeah, the chat room, you're the worst. So, speaking of chat room, this is where you'll get your code there, I Am Sci-Fi. Take care of Brooklyn. It's a lovely place, very gentrified and hipstery, and we need you there to keep that beard growing and life happening, all right?
Will do, and I'll make sure it doesn't smell like garbage.
Right on, brother. All right, he's out. Daryl?
Yes?
What's the big meeting about there? Can you share any details? What's going on?
Oh, I always fear when somebody's going to walk up to me and just start talking and not know that I'm doing this.
All right,
okay. And that's what happened.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Did you just point at the phone and go, I'm on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did they do? Did they go, oh, sorry?
They weren't looking at me, so it took a while.
That seems bad in a business place. People should be looking at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's annoying. Well, mm-hmm. All right then. Do we have anything to test? Do we?
We do not. We have consumed all the food.
Yeah.
But I'm sure, I know we've got stuff coming soon, so.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, why don't you now play that Google game with us? It has its own theme, even. I can click it.
I know. I Googled it.
There it is. It's Googleus Maximus. Go.
I am going to read part of a query that I've entered into Google. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right.
And this is sent in by Joe Uncool on Twitter. I have nothing to do with this.
Okay. Go ahead and distance yourself now. Jeez. All right.
Okay, I'm trying to decide between which one. I'll do this one.
Okay.
And how many times blank?
How many times blank?
How many times? How many times have I told you?
How many times have I told you?
Now, how many times...
My brain is blank on this. How many times?
I'm going to stick with that. How many times? Because I can't come up with anything I like better.
All right. How many times
can you lick a Tootsie Pop?
Actually, yes. That's what I'm going with. I'm borrowing Brian's little off the top one. I'm going to say how many times can you, I guess it's how many licks does it take, but I'm still going to say
exactly.
How many times.
One, two, three.
Three licks. That owl is annoying. And that kid's naked, by the way. Go back and watch that commercial. Yeah, watch that commercial. That kid, this little scrunchy kid, is not in... He is naked. He's not... I mean, it's not like his doodle's hanging out or anything, but it's like this... There's no clothes on that kid, is what I'm
saying.
Really? Yeah.
All right, people in the chat room, your job is to find that video.
Yeah, go look at it.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
Yeah. He's just a little naked, clothes kid.
Yeah.
I know it's a design. I know it's a style. But if you think about it, it's kind of like when you notice that... That Smurfette from the Smurfs doesn't have any pants on.
Right.
She's
too much hassle.
All these boys around. Too much hassle.
Too much hassle.
All right. So Daryl, how do
we
do?
Maybe he's all pants.
He could be all pants. He's one. He's just a pant. She doesn't. I know she wears a skirt, but she doesn't wear anything under that skirt. I'm telling you, she's got.
How
pants.
Do you know she doesn't? Wait. Look now, at hold
Smurf,
on a second.
Look at Smurfette. Just look her up. Smurfette. Oh, I put in Murfette. Hold on. Smurfette. Okay.
I mean, I don't know how you know she's not wearing anything under that skirt, because it could just be something that's smaller than the skirt.
Look, but see, here's what I'm saying. That's. Where is it? I have an example of this.
Unless you've actually got a shot of Smurfette butt.
Because the rest of them wear, pants, right? Like the little red pants or whatever, the white pants, depends on who it is. Papa Smurf wears red pants. Or is it Papa Smurf who's naked? Hold on. Hold on. This is going to bug the crap out of me if I don't figure out where I found this. Maybe it's Papa Smurf has no pants. Oh, you know what? I might have conflated the two. Maybe
you're thinking Donald Duck.
I might be. Somebody has no pants in the Smurf world. I don't know who it is now. Shite. Somebody find that out, all right? Look that up. All right, Daryl, what did we do? Oh, you got to tell us if we got it.
Okay. The number one answer is, how many times should I poop?
You take no responsibility for that one, eh? This is not yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every time is the answer to that.
The answer is every time.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
All right, let's do some news brought to you by...
Donald Trump is the RNC for president. I don't think they're using RNC the right way there. Yeah. One thing is for sure, he sure has a lot to say about everything. You have the perfect comeback for any situation in the palm of your hand with Trumpisms. You too can have words like Trump. Available in the iOS store. Look for Trumpisms.
Trumpisms. Hopping on that bandwagon, son. Luke Skywalker.
Smart. Get in on it now.
You know Luke Skywalker, played by Mark Hamill?
Oh, he was in that one movie that one time.
Yeah. Corvette Summer's the one you're thinking of.
That's the one I'm thinking of, yes.
Yeah, big hit.
He was the silent actor in The Force Awakens.
Exactly. He was the one that said nothing but held out his hand. Or no, she held out her hand.
Yeah, he just looked at her
like, what the hell's that?
Movie's ending, isn't it? Yeah. He finally just got here. Thanks. Yeah,
that was weird.
Spoiler.
Well, Luke Skywalker. Listen here, Skywalker. A.K.A. Mark Hamill is helping a dying Star Wars fan with his final wish. Again, Star Wars being the impetus for helping somebody with a terminal disease see the movie before it comes out. A Superman fan and illustrator, 36-year-old Hanvi, doesn't say his full name. I was told in April he had 8 months to live, roughly the same amount of time until Star Wars Rogue One comes out, is set for worldwide release in mid-December. Now, fans and also Star Wars veteran Mark Hamill are helping Hanvi's cause to see the movie before it's too late. Mark Hamill, let's see, skip ahead to that. It started with Hanvi's wife, Andrea, and hospice worker Amy Duncan, asked for support on Facebook to help him see the movie before he dies, wants to see it from his hospital bed. In just 2 days, Hamill retweeted the story, and the campaign went out to 1.2 million of his Twitter followers. And as the hashtag gained momentum, Rio Olympics 2016 mountain bike manager Paul Davis also tweeted this from the starting line of the race. So he's at the race with his phone with really good reception in Rio and said, beep, 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 beep.
It's going to cost me a fortune in data minutes, but let's do this.
Yeah. It says the popular Star Wars podcast, the Cantina Cast, is also fully backing the campaign. Looks like it'll probably happen. J.J. Abrams made this happen for somebody with Force Awakens, so why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
why
that's
not?
Nice.
I mean, here's the problem. A lot of people are dying in 8 months, but you got to give it to the ones who really want to see Star Wars before they die.
Right.
I don't know if I'd care. Like, I think it'd be nice. I don't know if I'd really care. If I knew I was dying, I don't. Like
Force Awakens would have been one where it's like, oh my God, I just want to see the continuation of the franchise before I die. I as much as I'd like to see part 8, I feel like part 7 was, you know, the one that you need to see before you die. Right?
You need to know that things are being handled well and
exactly.
That it's in good hands now. I agree with that. But I mean, moreover, and I don't, anybody who does do this is totally fine. I don't have a problem with this. I'm just saying for me personally, mm-hmm. I think if somebody says, Scott, you've got 6 months to live, I think I suddenly don't care about pop culture at all.
I think so. I think you're not saying, dang it, I really want to see Channing Tatum as Gambit.
How am I going to see how Gambit's handled?
Could I please see?
Right. But I don't know if I would. I think I would be, because none of that stuff's going to do us any good in the end. Like, I mean, it's all good now. It's fun. It's great. We should love it and embrace it. That's half my life is embracing nerd culture.
You've got 6 months and you're like looking ahead at the movie schedule. It's like, oh no. Oh man. Yeah. I really picked a bad time to find out. Like, I've got Fast and the Furious 9. I've got,
I have got to see the continuation of the Harry Potter sequels.
Do you pick something just so you can say, well, I want to see something?
I don't know. I probably watch Something I Love again. Watch Fury Road again.
Right. Let me watch Fury Road. Let me rent out a theater and watch it on the big screen.
There you go. With my friends and family. Now that's a pop culture thing I would care about in 6 months.
Absolutely.
I'd be into that. The Nation.
And no NDAs. Nobody has to sign an NDA.
No, not a soul. everyone thinks they're mad at that Lochte kid, or what's how you say his name? Whatever.
Ryan Lochte. Yeah.
Little douchebag, freaking swimmer douche.
Yeah.
And they think that's the big controversy at the games, or the awesome thing with the two runners that collided and then helped each other finish, or whatever. But no.
Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, cool.
That was a really cool thing, actually. New Zealand and the American runners slammed into each other. Both lost, of course, but helped each other get up and go. It was pretty rad, actually. The Nation instead remains in deep misery and pain and are appalled by Matt Lauer's naked ankles during the Ryan Lochte interview he did. Nude ankles, they're referred to here.
Nude ankles.
Nude.
Whatever.
Ryan Lochte and Matt Lauer sat down for a little tete-a-tete. I hate that phrase. I freaking hate it. There's a lot of French phrases I don't like.
Sustained.
You're gonna allow this one? Is that your saying?
I'm gonna allow this one. Or I'm sorry, overruled. Overruled.
Oh my gosh, I'm watching.
Defense could continue.
I'm watching that HBO thing, The Night Of.
Oh yeah, how is that?
It's really good. But maybe that's why I had a bad night's sleep, because I watched that kind of late, and it's super intense and really well done, and there's a lot of courtroom stuff so far and like cop stuff, and it's really good.
We have three or four episodes of season two of Casual, and then I think we're moving on to that and co-vice principals or whatever it's called.
Oh, vice principals. Vice principals is funny as hell.
Yeah, it's really looks good. Like it.
I like it.
Why am I loving? I'm loving Deadwood. I'm in season two now.
Deadwood is so good. That's why you're loving it. And when it runs out, you're going to be pissed.
I know. Well, I'll know that there's something on the horizon, right? The movie.
Well, rumors.
Rumors, anyway.
So anyway, they sat down to talk about that robbery deal, but nobody seemed to care about it anymore. All they cared about was Matt Lauer's feet. And for some reason, he's wearing like fancy dress shoes with no socks.
It's funny. Yeah, I noticed Ryan Lochte dyed his hair back to brown instead of silver, so he'd look like less of a... Like, it's the penitent Ryan Lochte, right? I have to look, you know, like just some guy.
Yeah, I don't buy it. You're still a swimmer douche.
Right, and... they're calling it now an exaggeration.
Uh-huh. You mean the part where you said there was a gun to your head when there wasn't?
Right, armed robbery. Yeah, it was the guy who's demanding you pay for the crap you broke at his gas station.
Yeah, did you hear, you know who impressed me was weatherman Al Roker. Mm-hmm. They were doing an interview on the air. I saw this clip, and it's like all of the Olympics I actually saw. Was him saying, no, the kid lied. And the other guy's going, well, no, now hold on. It's like an exaggeration. We know.
Oh, no, really?
And he goes, no, he lied. Like, you could not, Al Roker was not going to move from the lied stance. I was impressed.
Thank you, Roker.
So don't forget what I said last week. Douchey McDouchey Dick. There you go. What are you saying in the background? Listen really carefully. Ready? Listen. Yeah. Douchey McDouchey Dick. Do you know what you're saying?
I can't tell.
Douchey McDouchey Dick. How many languages do you speak?
I think that's what it was.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Natalie Portman says she's done with Thor. It's some kind of a long story, but she didn't really enjoy her time unless they called her back for some rad deal for an Avengers
thing. I think the way she phrased it, it's they're done with her. I mean, basically, she's not saying, yeah, I don't want to do another one. She's saying, yeah, they didn't ask me to be back for Ragnarok, and I don't know if I'll be involved in any more of these.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I guess by contrast, Mickey Rourke once famously said this. He said he hated being an Iron Man. Let's see, where is it? I got to read this.
Not enough alcohol on the craft table between takes.
It says Oscar winner Mickey Rourke famously hated starring in it, saying Marvel heads diluted his character Ivan Vanko into a one-dimensional bad guy. He continued saying creative control rested with some nerd with a pocket full of money calling the shots. Yeah, that nerd is...
I really wanted my character to develop into more of a guy who had sex with several women among the course of his villainousness.
It's the only kind of character he wants to be.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's kind of a cross between a 9.5 weeks Iron Man, Harry Angel.
I mean, listen to him. If they want to make mindless comic book movies, then I don't want to be a part of that, he says. Yeah, but you want to make mindless, like, weird sex dramas in the 80s? Those were pretty mindless.
Right.
And you sure wanted to be a part of that.
Guess what, Mickey? Your character is based on a two-dimensional comic character.
Yeah, he's literally two-dimensional. Douchey McDouchey Dick. All right.
It's like the award we're bestowing upon Rand Lochte and Mickey Rourke. Nice.
Yeah, I like it. And it's has some nice background music from Brian going. finally, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, this appears to all now make sense. Dwayne The Rock Johnson does not thank Vin Diesel in his Fast 8 thank you post, thus confirming that it must be Vin Diesel he is having his feud with. Grr, grr, grr.
Jeez Louise.
If that war is still on with Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel, well, it looks like there's still bad blood between these two, going by Johnson's latest Fast 8 thank you note. According to Entertainment Weekly, Johnson left Diesel out of his thank you notes after he wrapped production of the film. Oh, no! Two of the biggest muscly guys in the world acting like seventh graders.
Right.
It's fantastic. Loving it. All right, time for a quick word from our sponsor, Squarespace. Building websites can be hard. You gotta have a ton of knowledge, or you gotta hire a dude. Nobody wants to hire a dude. Hiring a dude is expensive. And you have to make sure the dude does everything you need for the money you're paying that dude. Well, or dudette. I don't want to be sexist, okay? Here's the deal, though. Skip the dude or dudette and go straight to making your own website amazing because you have all the tools and templates at your fingertips. Someone doesn't have to make them for you. They're already there at squarespace.com. Go to squarespace.com right now. Use the free trial. You don't even need a credit card for that trial. At the end of that 14 days, you can decide to stay. And when you do, use the code MORNING at checkout and save 10% at squarespace.com. That's squarespace.com and the morning, and the code MORNING, or the morning code is MORNING. You can say whatever you want. Don't hire a dude. Go to Squarespace. When we come back, I think Major Spoilers is here because we missed him last week and we'd sure like to have him back.
Yeah.
So Steven Schleicher all coming up, guys. We also got a phone call a little bit later after that. But before all of it, Brian brought Indy in the middle.
I did. And I want to thank listener Jason Hawthorne for doing the legwork on this one. He reached out to a band, an indie band that he really enjoys called Swimming Tapes. And said, hey, guys, there's this cool show called The Morning Stream and this cool part of it called Indie in the Middle. And we'd really like to play one of your songs on the show, either Set the Fire or Souvenirs. They said, oh, sounds great. We'd be more than happy with that. Mm. And he sent me, once again, send me a copy of the chat. I'm totally fine with that. I love seeing these little chat windows where they have Facebook Messenger with the band. And the band says, yeah, sure, that's totally fine.
Yeah, that's great.
So... big thanks to Jason Hawthorne. This is the Swimming Tapes, and the song is Set the Fire. This is really cool. It is a single. They just released it this year, and you can find more of Swimming Tapes. I'm going to put a link in the show notes, but you can find more of them online and look for them, Swimming Tapes. Mm. Here is Set the Fire. Do you like how I kind of brush past the fact that in none of my notes do I actually have their Twitter or their Facebook?
Don't
look for Swimming Tapes. I'll have the Twitter just after the song. This is Set the Fire.
Why not? Magicians can't tell secrets. Why not? Anyway, I gotta go practice some more.
Is it in the report?
Report.
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 The report.
Report.
The report. You read the report.
In the report.
In the report.
The morning stream. Better than dog butt flung poo.
I think that's true. Better than dog.
Totally true. That's a fact. Okay. Actually, 9 out of 10 pooflingers would agree.
Oh man.
By the way, swimming tapes can be found on Twitter at swimming_tapes and soundcloud.com/swimmingtapes. And
nice.
People in chat room loved them.
What'd they name it after? I'm curious.
Oh, you know, I have no idea. That's a good question.
Huh. I'm trying to think. And if they're swimming swimmers, tapes. I don't think everyone's a swimming douche. Okay.
No. The swimming tapes are not douches. Like the Olympic swimmers are. The male Olympic swimmers. Female swimmers, I got no problem with female swimmers.
They've been pretty good. I'll tell you what.
We know one of the people that was on our booze cruise, one of my good friends, Kathy, is a swimmer, was a swimmer in high school.
All right.
And she is a lovely and wonderful person.
She's swimming in booze there.
No, she was one of our lighter casual drinkers, like our maybe one here, maybe I'll skip the next bars. Drink and blah, blah, blah.
By the way, new segment on the show. We have Donald Trump's political views segment.
Oh, good.
Yeah, here's one from him. Here you go.
And a little weird little dude there.
There you go.
What was the first word there?
Let's see.
And a little weird little dude there.
I don't know. I just feel like we're in safe hands. I think the Republicans have really done us a favor. And looking forward to November.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Donald. Thank you.
Never.
All right. Let's roll into the next part of the show, which involves this guy named Stephen Schleicher.
Okay.
Who I quite am fond of. I really like Stephen, and I know you're a fan. And
he's growing on me for sure.
Yeah. He's coming to his own.
Starting to come around and appreciate him for what he is and what he offers.
That's right. So let's do that now as I push this button. Hey, everybody. Welcome Stephen Schleicher to the stage. Stephen Schleicher to the middle stage, everybody. Put your hands together. Hello. What's going on?
Not a whole lot, although I will say over the last couple of weeks, the more you play the Rockford Files thing, I keep thinking my phone's going off.
So. Oh, is that your theme?
That's your ringtone?
That's my ringtone.
That's awesome.
How weird.
For like so long, 6 years. Oh, there's my phone. Hold on.
It's so good. Gosh dang it.
It's the best. Good.
And the kids, I was driving the kids nuts this weekend. Carter came home for Sunday. And we were all hanging out and stuff. And I would just break out like some kind of Tourette syndrome person. I would just sit in the kitchen and go, and they're like, Dad, stop it. So anyway, I'm trying to stop it now.
Nice.
Hey, Steven, it's good to have you here. We missed you last week. Sorry about that. That was our fault.
Oh, hey, no problem.
There was stuff going on, and turns out there's still things going on.
Yeah, wherever else.
I have not seen Kubo and the Two Strings, but I...
Oh, my God.
I hear it's amazing.
It is. It is. I came out of the theater going... This may just be my all-time favorite movie, surpassing Raiders of the Lost Ark, surpassing Chinatown, surpassing... It is so, so good. Now, it's not going to be for everybody. That's the only problem. It's not going to be for everybody, because my nine-year-old, sat in the theater and just fidgeted and fussed and was like, I don't like this movie. Mm. My five-year-old, just before the movie started, was like, I don't know if I want to watch this movie now.
Yeah.
But he sat just totally enchanted by the entire movie. So much so that, and this is not a spoiler, but the lead character has to go out and find three items on his quest.
Yeah.
And as each one was coming up, he's like, there's the armor. And he was just like so getting into the movie. And it is sad. There will be some parts that are maybe a little scary for younger kids.
Yeah.
But it is such a good movie. And I don't want to say anything else because it will spoil some things. But if you don't compare it to like, the best parts of 10 other movies, then, Brian. Don't spoil it. But the animation is the animation is so fantastic. It's all stop motion, but you watch the trailer and stuff on TV or on the web and you can tell it kind of looks stop motion-y, but we went to the 3D version because we didn't want to go to the later showing. And even though I was wearing poop glasses, it looked much more fluid. with the 3D glasses on. It just, wow, it was great. Mm. And then the music is great too. There, I messaged to Brian that Regina Spektor does a cover of While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
And it is
very cool as well. And man, I was like, wow, this is a perfect movie.
Stop motion, right?
Yeah, stop motion.
I love that studio.
It's by the same people that did, what is it?
It's Paranormal.
Paranormal and the other
or
one.
Paranorman and the other one I liked a lot.
Coraline?
Coraline, that's it.
Yeah, Coraline, but they also did that one, Box Trolls, which I'm a huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
It's, they carry on this like kind of Henry Selick tradition that is just difficult to look away from. It's really, really cool. Here's my thing. 96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, killing it. Top critics are saying things like the overall stunning nature of this work cannot be ignored.
I know. I really think this thing has got a minimum of four major Oscars attached to it.
Now, I'd like to point something out. In 2015, we had a film that some people may have thought was not, you know, like you were saying, it's not going to be for everyone or whatever. That may have happened. A little film called Fury Road, which I thought was a
never heard
piece
of
work. Guess
have
what?
You talked about it before.
Guess what? Yeah, I may have mentioned
totally bring that thing up more.
Yeah. Here's the thing: Charlize Theron is in this as well.
She is. She does a great job.
Does she not have an arm in it?
I'm guessing spoiler she alert: has, she has two.
She has both arms. Shit.
Yes.
Right. Well, forget it. Is she the monkey or who is she?
I can't tell you.
All right. You can't. No. Is it secret?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Does if you want to be spoiled, go look at IMDb because I believe it has what her
character's name is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is she driving?
I'm not asking anymore. I'm not going to let.
No, Brian, if you guys can get off your drunk cruise, Brian, go see this movie.
I thought you were going to say if you can get off your drunk asses and go see this movie.
All right. Does she drive a giant tanker across the desert full of booby milk? Was that a thing?
No, there is no booby milk.
Damn it. How will Max...
Does she commit a murder spree across the southeastern United States?
Oh,
not through the southeastern United States.
What's that from? That's from Monster.
Monster, yeah. There are other movies that she was in.
Yeah, I know, but none of them. They just are all so small now compared
but
to...
But as great as she is, I don't know if they've ever given an Academy Award for voice acting, but the kid who plays Kubo... does a great job.
He's the little Asian.
He's the lead character. Okay. Yeah.
He's got like a big patch on his eye or something, looks like.
Yeah. And again, I don't want to spoil anything. I think it's released in the synopsis.
Mm.
But there's a reason why he doesn't have an eye, and there's a reason why he has to go on this quest.
All right. I'm going to... you know what? There's also a really interesting thing happening here. If my theory is correct that she plays the monkey, old-time Extra Life Radio fans will remember... A long time. In fact, do I have this clip? I think I have this clip. Check this out. She monkey. Monkey. Oh, I don't have it handy. Crap. I'd have to find it. I have it stored somewhere. But there is an old clip on me on ELR where somebody brought up Charlize Theron and said, oh, saying that she was in... No, I know what it was. They were just talking about her in general, and I said, wasn't she the monkey in Mighty Joe Young? But I meant, wasn't she the actress in Mighty Joe Young? And she was. She was the actress in Mighty Joe Young. But I kept saying, wasn't she the monkey? Wasn't she the monkey over and over? Anyway, old time fans will remember this. Now she's an actual monkey!
We don't know. Yeah.
I can tell you, she does do the voice of the monkey.
Okay, all right. Leave it at that.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not a spoiler to say who she plays, is it?
No. It might be, yeah. You never know.
If you watch the trailers, the monkey is all over the
place. Would have known that Edward Norton, like if you would have gotten the credit character list and said, oh, Edward Norton plays Tyler Durden, wouldn't that have kind of ruined Fight Club for you?
Yeah. But that's not the same as saying she plays the monkey in the story. Right?
You never know.
As soon as she comes on screen, she's going to go, hello.
She's off screen for a long time and you only hear her and then you see this monkey in other parts of the movie.
Yeah, but what if... All right, moving on. Daryl, Brian, and Steven. I want to see it. Did you see The Tick as well on Amazon?
I did watch The Tick. The pilot season for Amazon is up on Friday. They released the pilot episode of The Tick. I was surprised it was only 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
It is, and again, a lot of people complain about the dark nature of superhero stuff. There is a darkness to The Tick, but I think that was also, and it's been, I don't know, decades since I read the original Tick comic book. But there is a little bit of hint of darkness in the comics as well, if I remember correctly. I thought this was really good. Of course, the lead actor who plays the Tick, knock him down a peg because he's not Patrick Warburton. But his voice is deep, and they put some reverb on his voice every time he talks.
Yeah.
And he came off as very believable and very fun. And the guy that plays Arthur in the show, again, great acting in this piece. Yeah. I really enjoyed it a lot.
I've heard this from a lot of people. You're not the only one. And people were going in with expectations of being really disappointed because they love the Warburton thing. And this is supposedly pretty good.
Not as much comedy laughs as the Fox series had, but still very, very good. And just, the Tick is still played as kind of out of touch. You know, we're here to do superheroes kind of and you're normal. Yeah. I'm not clueless, but your normal everyday problems are not his problems.
Yeah. Remember, Arthur in the original was played by the guy from Lost, Brian.
No. That wasn't Arthur. That was Deflatormouse. Oh, it was the guy from Lost.
Wait.
Who also played the mayor in Dark Knight?
It's Motel. You're right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Looks like he has eyeliner, but he doesn't. It just came that way. That guy? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's great.
He just came that way.
He did. He came out the shoot with eyeliner.
He did, like Ray Liotta.
Yeah, it's cool. I like that.
Jackie Earle Haley also plays a great piece in this.
In this new one? Really? I love him.
He's really good. This is the part, like, there's a lot of people are like, hey, is this a series that is appropriate for young children? It's PG-13 for a reason. Mm-hmm. There's a whole scene with, I want to say syphilis gun.
Yeah.
And at that point, I saw on Twitter one person was like, and this is no longer appropriate for my 7-year-old.
Well, it was never, the source material wasn't either.
No.
I guess the Fox one was a little more tame, but.
It was more all ages on Fox.
Yeah. Well, all right. Warburton notwithstanding, sounds like they got something going on there.
That's good. I hope it makes it to season. I think a lot of people are expecting it to make it to season. And compared to the other two shows, I Love Dick and Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Tell me about this Jean-Claude Van Johnson. This is actual Van Damme, right? It's Van Damme doing something.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And I saw little clips of it, and I was like, there's no way I want to watch this. So.
I want to watch it. I want to.
Did not hook you, huh?
No.
I have to watch it.
I may watch it just because it looks like those are the only three episodes or the only three episodes that are up for pilot season right now.
They had such a good one last one. It's hard to beat it. They had High Castle and Wild Dogs, was it, Brian? Animal Dogs?
What was it? It was
Angry Men.
Dogs was definitely Dogs. Something Dogs.
Mad Dogs.
Yeah, that was so good.
Great series.
Maybe you hold off on watching the Jean-Claude thing until we do a live commentary track for FilmSack.
Oh, that'd be all right. Yeah, I'm very curious about it. I wonder how much of it is dialogue and if any of it is like actual like karate action man stuff. I don't know. Anyway, well, that's good. Hey, Superman's big brother is coming to Supergirl. Brian likes Big Brother, but not in that kind of Big Brother. It's a different kind of Big Brother.
Yeah. Supergirl's Big Brother.
So, well, it says Superman's Big Brother here.
Yeah, Superman's Big Brother. So we know this was confirmed by the CW at their Television Critics Association panel a couple of weeks ago that Mon-El will be in Supergirl this season, played by the actor Chris Wood. Now, the reason I say it's Superman's Big Brother is because let's go all the way back to 1961 to Superboy number 89, where a rocket crashed to Earth. This body was inside. Superman goes fishing around in his pockets, or Superboy goes fishing around in his pockets, finds a Kryptonian letter, and because the guy kind of looks like him, dresses in a crazy costume like him, has this Kryptonian letter, he assumes that he is his big brother that Jor-El had sent to Earth to help watch over him. Problem was, he's not. And through a series of mishaps, he's called Mon-El because he was found on a Monday, and he's from the House of El, right?
Yeah.
Through a really? Series of incidents. No, that's it. That's the real reason he's called Mon-El.
Okay.
One day there's some kryptonite, and Superboy's, look out, Mon-El, and grabs a lead box and encases the kryptonite in it. Turns out he's not from Krypton.
Oh.
Mon-El is from a planet called Daxam. He's a Daxamite. And he's deathly allergic to lead. So while kryptonite can hurt Superman, lead will kill a Daxamite. So while he's suffering from lead poisoning, Superboy goes, oh my gosh, now that we know who you really are and I can't fix your lead poisoning, let me send you into the Phantom Zone and you will be safe until I figure out some way of curing you of your lead poisoning.
Wow.
Yeah, and so he does for like 1,000 years. And then in the future, not Superman... Saturn Girl and Brainiac 5 find cures for his lead poisoning, pull him out, and he joins the Legion of Superheroes.
Okay, so I thought he was going to come out like full-blown villain because he had 1,000 years of lead poisoning.
No, because you don't age. I mean, you can see everything, but you don't age, and the lead poisoning wasn't going to affect him. So it was kind of a safe thing for Superboy to do. But if you read the entire issue of Superboy 89, it kind of comes on as some like weird, I hate my older brother kind of
things that are going
on. Yeah.
Speaking of which, this is a side note, but Nick, when he was 2, accidentally stabbed himself with a pencil in the arm.
Yeah.
And
still there?
It's still there.
Yeah.
Little lead tip is still like that little mark there. It looks like it was just done today and it doesn't hurt and there's nothing. Doctors are all like, no, it's just what happened.
Because it's graphite.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah.
Think about what would happen. Like, it's almost like a superhero origin story. If you suddenly got fused with a bunch of graphite, you'd just turn
lead
into
Lead Man.
Yeah, you'd be Lead Man. you'd be number 2 man.
So, here's why I bring this. Here's why I bring Mon-El up, because we know in the story up, because we know at the end of the first season of Supergirl, a rocket crashed into the ground and Supergirl goes over and she rips off the top and she's surprised by what's inside. It's a rocket that looks very much like the rocket that brought her and Superman to Earth.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking that we're going to find Mon-El inside of that rocket. And the first couple of episodes I'm predicting are going to play out just like this story happens, where Mon-El is great, and then they're thinking that it's their cousin or brother or something, and then they have to shunt him away to the Phantom Zone. And I think they're doing this because we've been teased in all 4 of the CW Arrowverse series. We've been seeing little glimpses and hints of the Legion of Superheroes. And even though the CW has said we're kind of done with superhero shows for a while, we're full up, I really think they're getting ready to bring us a Legion of Superheroes television series.
That'd be all right.
It would be fine for me, and it's right up CW's alley, because you've got young, good-looking teenagers doing heroic things, and they can deal with all the teenage dramas.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're getting prepped for it.
Side note, this kid, he's a kid to me. Chris Wood, the actor who's going to play Mon-El, born on a Monday, or found on a Monday.
Found on a Monday.
I knew he looked familiar. It was driving me crazy. It's because I had to sit through a bunch of those Vampire Diaries episodes with my wife. And he's on that.
Yep.
He's one of those pretty boys. These people get stuck on the CW and they go nowhere else, by the way. They just
until
end
they're 35 and they're gone.
And then they leave and then maybe something
they
happens.
Mysteriously vanish.
Yeah, that's true. That's really
over
funny.
Over onto what, AMC or something.
It's funny you mentioned that. Kevin Smith directing Flash and Supergirl. What's going on with that?
So we're talking all about Supergirl. So Kevin Smith, we already knew, was going to direct the first couple of episodes of this new season of The Flash. He also announced that they have hired him to direct at least one episode of Supergirl in the next season. Mm. And he's pretty excited about that. While his episode, The Runaway Dinosaur, was not the highest rated of the Flash episodes from season two. It really boosted the last half of the season by a great bit, bringing in about 4.14 million viewers for his episode. So I think he'll be able to do that with both Flash and Supergirl in this next season.
Now, there's only one problem I can think of.
What's that?
Smoke weed every day.
It's Kevin Smith, man.
If you have not seen the Runaway Dinosaur episode, it will bring tears to your eyes. It is so good.
Really?
And from what the cast and crew said with Smith directing that episode of The Flash, it really invigorated them and really got them back into the joy of doing this show. So
I wish he would do more of that, like more TV stuff and less. Well, the Canadian movie is getting, no one likes it. And that other Tusk one, no one liked that either. People hate those things.
He said when he was on The Flash that it really changed his outlook. And now he's more excited about doing more TV stuff because he always thought himself as a movie maker.
Sure.
Now that he's seen how television works and has had a taste of it, he really wants to do more of it. And he's offered to direct Arrow. He's offered to direct a lot of different things. Yeah. If you ever go back and watch the pilot episode of Reaper, he directed that as well, and it's great.
It's better than the rest of the series.
Yes, it is.
In fact, it's the only reason I think that even went past pilot. Mm-hmm. I think people were like, whoa, this is amazing. Had he stuck on that as chief creative dude, I think we would have had that series for many more years because it was really fantastic. Oh, my gosh. Laura Palmer's dad was in it. He was the devil.
Yep, he was.
Yes.
Ray Park was not him.
Yeah, different guy.
Yeah.
Flipping around some lightsabers.
Yeah, he was lightsaber man. And Toad and X-Men. All right. Well, hey, Kevin Smith.
You smoke a lot of dope.
So be careful, dude. Just be careful.
And if you love Flash and Supergirl, one more thing for you, Scott.
Yeah.
Flash and Supergirl are going to get a musical crossover episode next season. A lot of people, because Grant Gustin and Melissa Benoist have been on Glee together, and a lot of the other cast of both shows have great musical backgrounds. They're answering everyone's wish, and they're going to do an all-musical two-part episode or two-part story coming this next season.
Benoist is a hard name to say. I don't like it.
Benoist?
I would go change it if it were me.
It's because it sounds like moist.
It's Benoist is moist.
It's an unfortunate name. Yeah.
Moist Benoist, they called me in high school. all right. So that's interesting. The two-part. So musical, though.
Buffy did it. Yeah, Buffy did it. And so a lot of people are like, well, then that means that Joss Whedon will be directing this. And he's, no, that's just a rumor. Mm. They're mostly going to go with covers. So, Brian, you might want to be checking that out when they get to it. But they did say they wanted to do at least two original songs in one in each of the episodes. But because if you've ever seen Batman, The Brave and the Bold, the animated series, it's fantastic.
Great show.
It's really a good show.
Really good.
There was a musical episode, an all-musical episode called The Revenge of the Music Meister, or Mayhem of the Music Meister.
Yeah.
And it was an all-musical episode as well. It featured Neil Patrick Harris as the Music Meister. And a lot of people are guessing, assuming, whatever, that if that's the way they're going to go, that we're going to see the Music Meister move from an animated series into a live-action series, and that Neil Patrick Harris will reprise that role.
All right, that'd be all right.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be really cool if they did that. And if you haven't seen that Music Meister episode, go watch it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to predict some of the covers that they'll do. You think there'll be a cover of Queen's Flash?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And I'm sure there will be some Journey songs as well.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
That'll be good. I'm in. Whatever. I'm in. Mix your weird ass shit together. I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Hey, so I was just looking at Joss Whedon's credit stuff right now. He's not doing anything. He's taking a break.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron was the last thing he did.
Did he do? What came first?
He's earned it, Scott.
What? Was it his Age of Ultron or his Shakespeare thing that he did super low budget?
Shakespeare, that was great. Yeah.
Shakespeare was Much Ado About Nothing, and that was 2012, so that was a few years ago.
That was a way long time ago.
And that was between Avengers and then Avengers. And then I want to just remind everybody how quickly time slips by. It has been since 2008 that he made Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
Yeah.
That feels like yester freaking day.
Mm-hmm.
That's super weird to me.
That thing still holds up, and it's weird to see Felicia Day as young as she is.
I would agree. By the way, also, let's just all stop doing whatever it is we're doing and go watch Serenity for the 19th time, because that is a fine film and the best thing he's directed, in my opinion. As much as I love the Avengers first one anyway, I think Serenity is so freaking good.
There is a, I don't know if you guys have ever played Legendary Board Game.
No, but I've heard it's good.
It's really fun. The deck building game. Mm-hmm. There's a Marvel one that's super popular, but they just released, it just came out, the Firefly Edition one.
Yeah, I think Dan talked about this. It's pretty cool.
What's different about it is that instead of just playing these little scenarios, you actually play a season. Mm. So each time you play, it's like you're playing a different episode. And you've got these things to accomplish inside the episode and side missions and everything.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
That's super cool. Can Brian be his? Can Brian play the companion and have his own?
I don't remember if she's one of the main characters or not. She probably is.
Yeah. Our cat would play the companion. Come on now.
Okay, fine. Anara the cat will be the companion and have her little sex ship attached to the Serenity the Firefly.
Okay, now you're making it weird.
Or no, the Serenity. Firefly. It is weird. Well, there you go. Fantastic stuff as always, Steven. What's that? What else is going on at Major Spoilers people should be keeping their eye on?
If you're wanting to know what DC is coming out with in November, I believe they will be releasing their solicitations this afternoon, so about 4 o'clock Central Time. You should be able to find those over at MajorSpoilers.com. I'm just waiting for the email to say when, and then that means probably tomorrow around noon Eastern, Marvel will release there, so we should know what's coming out in November from both of those companies.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm excited. Majorspoilers.com, by the way, the chat room's reminding us that the Firefly vinyl release is coming out, the music on vinyl.
Oh, cool.
So that song, take my gun, get the stuff, you can't take that away from me. Who needs vinyl when you got me? Steven, Major Spoilers on Twitter. Always a pleasure. Take it easy, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye now.
See ya.
All right. I got a phone call to play before we leave today.
All right.
This comes to us at 801-471-0462.
Wait, people call that number and they can they talk to us?
They sure can. You're going to hear it now. It's all about a little confirmation about Jennifer Aniston I've been waiting for my whole life.
Okay.
So here's a confirmation for you.
Hey, guys. I'm going to leave my name out of it. This is for TMS.
Why do I have... I have deja vu we may have played this. If I have, I may be crazy, but we're going to... Here we go.
Okay. I can confirm Jennifer Aniston has stinky breath. I have worked with her on something, and she does love the coffee. I don't know why she doesn't use mints, but just talking to her, I never wanted to call and tell Scott he was right, but now other people have said it first, so I can confirm it. Love the show, though.
That sounded like David Schwimmer disguising his voice.
Yeah, a little bit. Just going, oh,
this is somebody who was not on the show Friends playing Ross Geller. I don't have a monkey, and I worked with Jennifer Aniston.
That's right. I played Bob Shapiro in a freaking... So there you go. Some independent conference. I swear I played this. Maybe not.
Preparation H says you did, but I don't remember hearing it. So
I don't remember. Maybe I played it and I don't remember. And maybe it just got left in the folder and I forgot to delete it. I don't remember. But yeah. If I didn't or did, it's important to be reminded once again that Scott's instincts are sometimes right on the freaking money.
I think, I don't know. I think this might be a case of Doth protest too much. I think you really secretly love Jennifer Aniston's breath.
I just want to sit there and huff
on it. Just want to like bury your nose in her mouth and have her inhale and exhale ad infinitum.
Oh, I don't want to do that to anyone. To anyone ever.
You want her mouth to be your CPAP.
There is a scene, by the way, in Dr. Robot, Mr. Robot Season 2. Are you caught up?
No, we are not. So no spoilers.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but there is a scene when you get to it, you're going to go, Scott might think this is the worst thing he's ever seen in his life. Cool. Oh,
no, we're just because of what's available to us. We don't have USA on any of our cord cutting technology. So we are buying the season on Amazon. Probably.
That's what we're that's what I'm doing.
Is that what you did? Yeah,
I just did. Well, I'm doing per episode.
Listen, it just makes it so damn easy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. you know.
It's going to gross you out.
Well, probably not as much as you.
It was so bad.
Come on, man. I can handle this.
If y'all, chat room, if you're caught up, no, and not a naked woman.
Hey. I love that that's what somebody thinks is like going to put you over the edge.
They don't know me very well.
Wiener.
It's not, and it wasn't a man wiener. As far as I know, there are no man wieners in this show, but there is something. Yeah, you know what? Listen, Free Rangers knows exactly what I'm talking about. I'll just say it involves a floor. That's as far as I'll take it.
Mm. Somebody probably licks a floor.
Oh, they do worse than that.
Okay, never mind. I'll get to it when I get to it.
I don't know how the actors did it.
Is it good? You're enjoying it, though?
Oh, that show season is two? So freaking good. Cool. And I think season two is amazing. I don't know what, you know, this people saying, oh, it's a little too psycho. No. The whole thing is psycho. If you binge it like I've been, it's very consistent.
Season one recap because I, you know, we watched it last year, basically.
They give you they give you one on episode one, but I don't know if it's good enough. But they give you like a, you know, previously on blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I love that.
All right.
Last season.
Yes, they drink civet coffee out of a Vibe. That's it. Nailed it, chat room. Nailed it. Always it on point. Yep. All right, that's it. Thank you for the call. Again, 801-471-0462. You can email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. We're happy to take your correspondence either way. Big thanks to AlphaGeekRadio.com and DiamondClub.tv for simulcasting today's live show. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Follow Brian and I on Twitter. Brian's at Coverville. I'm at Scott Johnson. And hey, the show's at Morning Stream. I think that's everything.
Okay.
Is it, though? I think it is. All right, let's get out of here. You got some music to play?
I do, and I just want to issue this as a warning to Bob Pedersen. This is probably where you want to stop listening for the day. Thank you for enjoying this episode 1100 of TMS, Bob Pedersen, and we'll see you tomorrow for episode 1101.
You mean all this right, is now, like heartfelt and nice? There's something
exactly,
nice here?
For
okay,
the rest of you.
Okay. All right.
Med the Pirate wrote in and said... hi, Mojo and Jojo. After 95 well-lived years, my grand passed away this morning. Oh. She was a nurse. This was last week. He sent this in, by the way. He or she, I don't know gender on this one. Right. After 95 well-lived years, my grand passed away this morning. She was a nurse during the war while granddad went to fight. She loved to dance, and she was a tremendous matriarchal figure for all of us. During a recent visit, I took her around her care's home party, whatever, mm-hmm, and saw a live musician playing Johnny Cash. Her eyes lit up, and we got talking about something we both love. If it's possible, please dig out a cover of or by Johnny Cash in memory of an amazing lady who has always been there for us. Estoy triste sobre mi abuela, pero solo un poco, though. Thanks to you guys for cheering me up. Med the Pirate, sometimes in the chat. P.S. Is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
Always, because Scott is not ready. Hold on. Too early. Yep.
Hey, it's too early to get a fish sandwich.
There you go.
There we go.
Yep.
All right. So this is a cover of Johnny Cash's I Walk the Line. This came out last year on an album by Halsey, their album Badlands. This is awesome. It's just gorgeous, and I love it. Halsey and her cover, I don't know if her name is Halsey or if it's the band, probably the band, but she's got an amazing voice. Her cover of Johnny Cash's I Walk the Line.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Well, we will walk that line once again. See you then.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
And a little weird little dude there.